Dear friends, let us stand, please. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. You may be seated. Friends, I would like to welcome every one of you to this very special time in the lives of Eleanor and Jonathan. We are here to worship the Lord Jesus Christ through the union of Jonathan Chalefko and Eleanor May Harvey as husband and wife. We welcome you to this ceremony, a celebration of love, both human and divine. Now, just a couple of things that I would need to mention to you. Please, could you make sure that your mobile phones are switched off? If you are to leave cards or gifts, there will be a white box left on the table here as you leave the chapel. And at the end of the service, please watch for the ushers who will guide you out. We mainly will leave through this front door here, but the bride and groom will leave from the door that they enter. Let us all now lift up our God to the Lord in prayer. Let us all pray. Eternal and most blessed God, we praise thee for thy wonderful love towards us in opening the way for us to come together, even in this manner, to praise thy name. We come before thee through Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord, the one who shed his blood a ransom for many. And we bring to thee these two of thy servants, Eleanor and Jonathan, this day. And we ask that thy grace, thy joy, thy peace, and thy blessing would rest and abide with them and all the proceedings throughout this day. May our Savior Jesus Christ be glorified and be praised. May there be a wonderful testimony given to not only people here, but to those around, that thou hast blessed us richly, and through Jesus Christ, thou dost bless us eternally. Heavenly Father, bless this gathering, and bless this time of worship, and receive our praise and thanks, for we ask these things through Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord. Amen. Friends, we shall stand to sing the first hymn of praise, Be Thou My Vision. It is in your order of service. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best, O Lord, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence, my light. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, my light, my true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. And thou only be first in my heart. High King of heaven, thy treasure thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's shore, so bright and sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of old.
Please take your seats. Friends, we have come today in the presence of the Almighty God to witness the joining together of Eleanor May Harvey and Jonathan Chalefko in Christian marriage. By Christian marriage, I do not mean a marriage in a church setting, distinct from a registry office, let's say. I mean the marriage of a Christian man and a Christian woman. Marriage is the lawful joining together of one man and one woman for the period of their natural lives. It is an ordinance appointed by God himself and is therefore of a special significance. The New Testament teaches us that marriage is honorable, and many portions of Scripture makes that truth very clear for us. And I want to emphasize the honor that belongs to the married state, because marriage is increasingly, of course, in our society, sadly, is being set aside and perverted. Marriage is honorable as the oldest of all God's ordinances, being his first act after the creation of the first man and woman. And while they were still in a state of innocence, before the man had any other calling, he was called to be a husband. It is honorable also on account of the place where it was instituted. Other ordinances were instituted outside of paradise, but the first marriage was solemnized inside the very Garden of Eden. Eden means pleasure, and indicates that marriage, a state which we should expect to be accompanied with much happiness. A marriage service was honored by the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ also, and his first miracle at Cana of Galilee, and was blessed by him, by his presence and what he did. The Apostle Paul pictures for us the relationship of the husband and wife as picturing that relationship of Jesus Christ, who paid with his own heart's blood to save his people, his church, and to unite his own people to himself. And there is a day coming, my friends, that those who are true believers in Jesus Christ will be gathered together in that marriage supper of the Lamb. So marriage state, it ought not to be treated lightly. And you shouldn't enter into it unadvisedly, but thoughtfully and reverently. It should be duly considered. It was ordained for the hallowing of the union between one man and one woman, so that the natural instincts and affections being directed in a pure and the right way, they should live in purity and honor. It was ordained for the increase of mankind according to the will of God, and that children might be brought up in a loving and stable environment to be trained up in the ways of the Lord. And because of the significance of these things, of marriage, there are five things that I want to say about it before we do the vows. The author of marriage is God himself. It's not because you have decided or you have planned it. It's God has brought it about. He's the author of it. He planned the first marriage that took place in this world. And it is, in fact, God himself who married the first couple. And the Lord God made a woman and brought her unto the man, the scripture says. And he still plans that persons should meet, and he brings them together. And this has not been a planning of man. It is the planning of God. And if you are married already in this place, what a wonderful state you are in. And how should you cherish one another to think the Lord brought you together? And the scripture says, if you find a wife, it is from the Lord. It is from the Lord. So we rejoice in the way God has providentially brought you together. We thank God for it. But also marriage is a covenant. It is an agreement, a contract to which husband and wife are bound, not just for now, but for the rest of your life. There is no separation. This union, and no man shall put it asunder. It's a covenant that the woman promises to render faithfulness and obedience to the man as an expression of her love, and the man promises, as Scripture requires, to love his wife as Christ loved the church. How? By giving himself for it. To love her with a special and sacrificial love, which should always prompt him to kindness, sympathy, and service. Also, the third thing is that it was God's intention that the duration of marriage should be for the term of the couple's natural life, and also that the purpose of marriage is for the blessing of men and women, for the good of society, which can only flourish when the marriage bond is honored, and for the glory of God. God is glorified. Your aim is to glorify God in your marriage. And finally, the duties of both parties in marriage may be summed up very simply as love and faithfulness to God, to Jesus Christ, to one another. The scripture says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And by so doing, God will be glorified, and both husband and wife will live happily together, as the scripture says, as heirs together of the grace of life. So into this holy and blessed estate, these two persons come now to be joined. Therefore, if any persons can show any just cause why they may not lawfully be joined together in marriage, let them now speak, or else hereafter forever hold their peace. Well, at this time, I ask a very important question. Who gives this woman to be married to this man?
I do.
Wonderful. Okay. Now, Jonathan and Eleanor, I require and charge you both, as in the sight of God, that if either of you knows any reason why you may not be lawfully be joined together in marriage, you do now declare it. Okay, Eleanor and Jonathan, if you are ready to make your vows, we'll start. So repeat after me, Jonathan. I do solemnly declare.
I do solemnly declare.
That I know not.
That I know not.
Of any lawful impediment.
Of any lawful impediment.
Why I, Jonathan Chalefko.
Why I, Jonathan Chalefko.
May not be joined in matrimony.
May not be joined in matrimony.
To Eleanor May Harvey.
To Eleanor May Harvey.
Okay, Eleanor. I do solemnly declare.
I do solemnly declare.
That I know not.
That I know not.
Of any lawful impediment.
Of any lawful impediment.
Why I, Eleanor May Harvey.
Why I, Eleanor May Harvey.
May not be joined in matrimony.
May not be joined in matrimony.
To Jonathan Chalefko.
To Jonathan Chalefko.
Jonathan, will you have this woman to be your wedded wife, to live together according to God's ordinance in the holy estate of marriage? Will you love her, comfort her, honor and keep her in sickness and in health, and forsaking all other, keeping yourself only for her so long as you both shall live?
I will.
Eleanor, will you have this man to be your wedded husband, to live together according to God's ordinance in the holy estate of marriage? Will you love him, obey him, comfort, honor, and keep him in sickness and in health, and forsaking all other, keep yourself only for him so long as you both shall live?
I will.
Now, Jonathan, you need to repeat after me. I call upon these persons here present.
I call upon these persons here present.
To witness that I, Jonathan Chalefko.
To witness that I, Jonathan Chalefko.
Do take thee, Eleanor May Harvey.
Do take thee, Eleanor May Harvey.
To be my lawful wedded wife.
To be my lawful wedded wife.
To have and to hold.
To have and to hold.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
For better, for worse.
For better, for worse.
For richer, for poorer.
For richer, for poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
Till death parts us.
Till death parts us.
Or till Christ returns.
Or till Christ returns.
All this I promise thee.
All this I promise thee.
Eleanor, please repeat. I call upon these persons here present.
I call upon these persons here present.
To witness that I, Eleanor May Harvey.
To witness that I, Eleanor May Harvey,
take thee, Jonathan Chalefko,
take thee, Jonathan Chalefko,
to be my lawful wedded husband,
to be my lawful wedded husband,
to have and to hold,
to have and to hold,
from this day forward,
from this day forward,
for better, for worse,
for better, for worse,
for richer, for poorer,
for richer, for poorer,
in sickness and in health,
in sickness and in health,
to love, cherish and obey,
to love, cherish and obey,
till death parts us,
till death parts us,
or until Christ returns,
or until Christ returns,
all this I promise thee,
all this I promise thee.
Okay, best man, the rings, please. Okay, Jonathan, I give you this ring.
I give you this ring.
As a token of the covenant.
As a token of the covenant.
Made between us this day.
Made between us this day.
As a pledge of my love.
As a pledge of my love.
And as a memorial.
And as a memorial.
That I have taken you to be my wife.
That I have taken you to be my wife.
I give you this ring.
I give you this ring.
As a token of the covenant.
As a token of the covenant.
Made between us this day.
Made between us this day.
As a pledge of my love.
As a pledge of my love.
And as a memorial.
And as a memorial.
That I have taken you to be my husband.
That I have taken you to be my husband.
For as much as Jonathan and Eleanor have covenanted together in marriage and have witnessed the same before God and have witnessed the same before this company and have made their vows to each other and declared the same by giving and receiving of rings, I pronounce them husband and wife in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Jonathan, you may kiss your bride. Okay. Now, Pastor Stuart Harvey will come to pronounce the blessing and pray, please.
Let's bow our heads and meet the Lord in prayer. Oh, gracious, mighty, merciful God, wonderful God, we bow before you today and thank you for the precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us with his blood. And in celebration of that picture of Christ and his bride, we gather to ask your blessing, your bounty, on this marriage between Eleanor and Jonathan. Lord, we rejoice to see it, and we pray, Father, that it is pleasing in your sight. Father, that which you instituted in the beginning continues and has favor in your eyes and honor among all, and we pray your favor and blessing on this new matrimony. Lord, these two that will become one. And Father, help them as they adjust. Bless them, lead them, and guide them. As they change, as they grow, may it all be done as they follow you. Our Heavenly Father, as our Lord Jesus Christ promised peace to those who receive and believe in him, bless their marriage with peace. As you are love, bless their marriage with love. God, as you are the source of all provision, provide for Jonathan and Eleanor in the days, weeks, months, and years ahead. Meet every need as they meet you, Father, every day, I pray. Lord, we pray this is a marriage where Jesus Christ will not just have a presence. We pray, Father, this is a marriage where Jesus Christ will not just have a prominence. We pray, Almighty God, that this is a marriage where Jesus Christ will have preeminence, because there is pleasure, bounty, and true success. Father, we pray you would guide them through every challenge they will face. Lord, you've already seen it, you already know it, and you already have the answer. Teach them to look to you. Father, may this be a marriage of care for one another, love for one another. May your word be the guide, the lamp to the feet, and a light to their path as they go forward. Lead them in your word. Guide them by your Holy Spirit. Bind them, Lord, as indeed two are better than one, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. May Christ be the third presence that binds this marriage together, that it may last, not only endure, but be enjoyed not only by Jonathan and Eleanor, but every person who loves them and cares for them, Lord. May we all truly rejoice this day, looking to Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. In his holy, majestic name we pray, and we praise you. Amen.
Amen. Now we shall sing together the hymn, "He the Pearly Gates Will Open." If someone could get the new... Oh, there's... We need to sing. Some people may not be familiar with this hymn, but those of you who know this hymn, please sing up. The hymn is, "Love divine, so great and wondrous, deep and mighty, pure, sublime, coming from the heart of Jesus, just the same through tests of time." We'll stand to sing.
Divine, so great and wondrous, deep and trusting, sublime, coming from the heart of Jesus, just the same through tests of time. He, the pearly gates will open, so that I may enter in. For he purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sin. I can't open hunted, frightened, as a wounded fawn was I. Broken hearted, yet he healed me, he will heed the sinner's cry. He, the pearly gates will open, so that I may enter in. For he purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sin. Love divine, so great and wondrous, all my sins he then forgave. I will sing his praise forever, for his blood is far to say. He, the pearly gates will open. Enter in, for he purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sins. In life's eventide, I bind. Jesus, I shall enter heaven's gate. He, the pearly gates will open, so that I may enter in. For he purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sins.
Please be seated. Okay, we have the scripture reading now. Thank you.
We read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, from verse 1. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboureth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it that men should fear before him. Amen.
Once again, we want to sing to God's praise. This time, turn again, please, to the hymn, Here is Love. Wondrous love, unbounded mercy, vast as oceans in their flood. Jesus, Prince of Life, is dying. Life for us is in his blood. Again, we'll stand to sing.
Wondrous love, unbounded mercy, in that blood, Jesus, Prince of Life, is dying. Life for us in His blood. What heart can e'er forget Him? Who can cease this praise to sing? Of his love forever cherished, while the heavens with music rings. On the mount of crucifixion, fountains open deep and wide. Through the floodgates of God's mercy flow the vast and gracious tide. Grace and love like mighty rivers sent from above, and hence peace and perfect justice is the guilty world in love. Let me all thy love accepting, love thee ever all my days. Let me seek thy kingdom only, and my life be to thy praise. Thou alone shalt be my glory, nothing in the world I see. Thou hast cleansed and sanctified me, thou thyself hast set me free. In thy truth thou dost direct me, by thy Spirit through thy word, and thy grace my need is meeting, as I trust in thee, my Lord. Of thy fullness thou art pouring thy great love and power on me.
Please take your seats. I want to turn your attention, please, now to the Word of God. And the passage that I want to read before you is found in the Gospel according to Matthew in chapter 22. And I'll read the first 14 verses. And I want to direct this to both Jonathan and Eleanor, but also to the whole of the congregation here, to each one of you. Here is the Word of God. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Amen. Friends, these verses paint for us a picture of salvation. When Israel rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, their own Messiah, he turned to the Gentiles. And so this is a picture of that, illustration of that. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he intends to fill his heaven with the redeemed from the earth. That's his intention, and he will get that. There will, on that final day, be a great number of people from every nation, every tongue, and no man can number it. No man can put a figure on that. Only it is for those who have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ who will be admitted into God's heaven. The Bible tells us that when the redeemed of the Lord gather together there in heaven, that there will be a marriage. There will be a marriage. There will be a time of celebration known as the marriage supper of the Lamb. And there is something that is noteworthy in that we are told is that the people involved in that heavenly celebration will be dressed in pure white garment. And that's what I want us to think about. Here we find a group of people who were ready and who were dressed for the wedding. In the parable of the Lord, but there was one who wasn't ready. And on that final day when there is that marriage supper of the Lamb, everyone will be dressed. Those in heaven will be dressed. Now, you are here this afternoon, dressed, I presume, in your best clothes. And Jonathan, it is amazing. In his best clothes. But let me say this. Jonathan and Eleanor, they do not have just one set of clothing. Did you know that? They've got two sets of clothing and they've put on these two sets of clothing. Now you might think that that will make it very warm for them. My friends, that second clothing that I want us to think about is the spiritual clothing that they are clothed upon. It is the clothing of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the clothing of his gospel, the clothing of his redemption and his mercy, his salvation. Friends, there is an eternity that is coming. Every single one of you, every heart that is beating, on that final day, you will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And you and I need to be certain, absolutely certain, that you will be clothed properly. You will be dressed properly with that proper attire when you reach into eternity, when you appear before God. So we have a couple here dressed. And we are thinking about the blessed or the being dressed for the wedding. Not this wedding, but another wedding. Are you dressed for that? And that's what we want to think about for a little while this morning or this afternoon. First is this. In the short time that we have, let me explain a few things. First of all, let us think about this. And you ask the question to yourself, am I sure that I'm ready? Am I sure that I am spiritually dressed? Or am I fooling myself? Is it acceptable dress? Or is it one that you have produced for yourself? And the first thing that I want us to think about is the availability of this dress, availability of this garment that we read of here. The king had sent out his servants to to bring all the friends and all the relatives, all the high people to come, and they would not come to the wedding, to the marriage of his son. So he sends another group and say, go and gather anybody and everybody for them to come. And so in verse 9 it says, go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. And so everyone is invited. And then it says, so those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. So they all were there. The king sends his servants into the highways and literally to the wide places to gather together all that they found. He wasn't concerned about their character. He wasn't concerned about their past. He wasn't concerned about their social standing, about their abilities, about their popularity, or any other thing. He just wanted whoever would to come to the wedding celebration. That was the thing that the king wanted. And that's a picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in his plan of salvation. When the Lord Jesus Christ formulated and planned this salvation for us, that sinners like us would be forgiven of our sins, to be united with him, him being our bridegroom and we being his bride. When he planned that, he prepared a way that is open to all men from all walks of life. God's plan is available to whosoever will come, the scripture says. And that call goes out to many. It goes out to many, the scripture says. For many are called. And that's the intention, that all would hear about the saving message of Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful message it is. But this garment is available by invitation. Notice that the king sent out his servants to invite people to the wedding. And again, this is a picture of salvation. While anyone can be saved by the grace of God, before anyone can be saved, they must be called by the Lord. And how does the Lord call? Through the preaching of the gospel. And the Lord is calling, even now outwardly, he's calling all of us here to come draw near to him. And if you are not converted this morning or this afternoon, the Lord is calling you. Outwardly, you're hearing this message. What will you do? And that's the picture of salvation. This invitation went forth. Go ye, he says, into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid, he says. Bid, call, invite to the marriage. Is the Lord dealing with your heart? Do not put off when God is speaking to you. Another thing is this. The second thing is that, yes, the garment is available. The invitation goes out. But then there is the need for the acceptance of the garment. The acceptance of the garment. Verse 10, it says, for those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. So actually there were guests there. There were those who did come, who desired to be there. They accepted this invitation. But with it came the garment too. It was common in weddings involving a wealthy person to provide each guest with a garment, with a different kinds of colors. Sometimes it was white. And when the guest accepted the invitation, they would be given their garment, and they would then wear it to the wedding when the day arrived, when they were to come. Again, that is a wonderful picture of salvation. The day a person comes to know Jesus Christ and trust in Jesus Christ, he receives a garment of salvation, the Bible says. Salvation of Jesus Christ, and that garment stays with them forever and ever. They are the Lord's. It's the garment of redemption. It's the garment of forgiveness of sins. And how do you receive that? How do you receive this? Invitation goes out, come to Jesus Christ. And it is received by faith alone, in Christ alone. It is by simple childlike faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's how you receive it. And it is totally free. You don't pay for it. It cannot be purchased by any price. You cannot buy it with your long CV. You cannot buy it with your intelligence. You cannot buy it with your experience. You cannot buy it with your feelings. You can't buy it with the good things that you feel you have done. It's freely received. Our problem is we feel we have to work for it. And yet the Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And this garment is not just free, but it fits well as well. It fits well. Whoever you are, whatever is your size, it will fit you. Whatever your height, it will fit you. This garment of salvation that Jesus Christ gives. And this morning, maybe some of you were surprised, trying to put on your shirt, trying to put on your trousers, and you felt yourself, am I going to manage it today? But my friends, this is different. This garment that Jesus Christ gives to us freely, this salvation, it fits any man who would receive it. Have you received it? Or you say, no, this is not enough for me, or this won't fit my situation. You don't know my situation. I don't know your situation, but God does. And if you're a child of God, the grace of God, the scripture says, is sufficient for you. And you, I don't know what dark times you have been going through, but if you are one of the Lord's children, then his grace expands to your needs. It is sufficient to your needs. But have we come to the King Jesus? Have we this relationship with him, this relationship which was ruined by the fall, it was ruined by sin. And this garment was approved by the Father. The king came in and saw the guests and he approved all of them, except there was one that he noticed. He did not approve that because he was not wearing the garment that he should have been wearing. So there is the availability of this garment for the wedding, the acceptance of the garment for the wedding. But let me say to you this, the provider of the garment, the one who provides the garment, I've already touched on it. The king it was who had provided the garments, those who were bidden from the highways. And imagine, if you were just walking down the street and someone comes and says to you, there's a wedding. And you are invited to this wedding. What would you do? They say, it is now, right now. It is immediately. You have to come. What would you do? Oh, let me just go and get dressed first for the wedding. But they say, but we have already clothing for you. You can get dressed when you arrive to the wedding. That's exactly what took place. There were people who were coming in from the highways and the byways. And already the garment was ready. That garment that was prepared for those who would receive the invitation and would come and act upon the invitation. That king had already paid for it. Someone has to pay for the garment. It doesn't just come free. We receive it freely. But it wasn't free to the one who provided it. It wasn't a cheap garment. The king had paid for the garment and he had prepared it, planned it, had made it. And this is true of salvation. God has provided for us, poor sinners, in his Son Jesus Christ, the garment of salvation, the garment of righteousness, the garment of peace and forgiveness of our wretched sins, the garment of glory, that on that final day, the scripture says that his children will shine as the sun. Can you imagine that? It was made, it was weaved, if we could say that, and tailored by Jesus Christ himself, this garment. How? This garment, this salvation was planned from eternity because this wedding and this salvation, this union of sinners with God was planned from eternity, and Jesus Christ volunteered to come and to live, to die in the place of sinners. Because we had been, as God's creation, we had been unfaithful. We had fallen into sin. And yet God, out of his abundant love towards us, he sent his Son, and the scripture says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's why Jesus Christ came. He came to pay the sin debt. He came to purchase salvation for us. And he planned to pay it with a great price. He planned to pay the sin debt that we owe to God. You see, because God is our enemy. We have to make it right with God, or we will be punished and judged. But he said, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. And instead, punish me for their sakes. That is how the Lord Jesus Christ was cutting and weaving and knitting, as it were, that garment. He was being punished for us. You see, we have destroyed and torn the spiritual clothing of perfection and the righteousness that God had given to Adam and Eve. And they broke God's commands. And we do the same thing. Don't we? You and I, we break God's command. But Jesus Christ came to pay for the garment of righteousness for us. And what a cost. At the cost of his own life. At the cost of everything he had. The Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, died and rose again and is now alive forevermore. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords, ruling and reigning over all things. He's sovereign over all, and he's calling sinners like you and me to himself. All nations. He's calling all nations to join to him at the marriage supper. And he is the bridegroom who gave his life for the church. And that's what Jonathan, throughout his life, what is he going to do? He's going to die every day. Die to self and die for his wife. And it is in that setting, which woman would not obey a husband who would die for her? That's how much Jonathan should love Eleanor, because he is constantly picturing the Lord Jesus, and Eleanor is picturing the church, following the Savior. And finally, we have the absence of the garment, a solemn thing. There was a man found who did not have the garment. After the guest arrived for the wedding, the king saw a man who had no wedding garment. And this produced a number of reactions. And friends, you must understand that if you try to go to heaven without a wedding garment, these things will be true of you as well. It produced a great confrontation. We read in verse 12, and he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. He is confronted. And on that final day, God confronts us. The scripture says that we shall give an account of ourselves to God. Every one of us. And then it produced a shock in that man. He was left speechless. There are people who say, when on that final day I meet God, I'm going to say these things to him. You cannot say anything to him. You'll be found speechless. The only ones who will be speaking are the angels in heaven and the saints, praising and singing and glorifying the Savior. That's what's happening. But the ones on his left hand, the ones who are being judged, speechless. Silence rules over their hearts. And that's what happened to this man. And it produces shame. He's cast away. He says, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. That's the picture of hell, the outer darkness. Every person who leaves this world clothed in their sins and not in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you must change that. You must change, put off the old man, the scripture says. and put on the new man, Jesus Christ. If you carry on saying, I will just carry on as I have been, you will face God. And you will be punished because you will not have that clothing that Christ purchased by his own blood. And that is what we plead with you. So here's a picture of a wonderful thing. There are two people clothed twice. There is one clothing they will put off soon. They will change to something else. But they won't put on these clothes again and again and again. Eleanor will not be wearing, well, I don't know, you might think you should, but I presume she won't be wearing her wedding dress to impress Jonathan again. But she will always have the clothing of Jesus Christ. And Jonathan too. We change these outward clothings. We put them off. We put on something else. But with Jesus Christ, he is with us always. Even to the end of the world, the scripture says. So my question to all of you is, are you dressed? Are you dressed for the wedding? Not this wedding, for the wedding to come. Here is a wonderful picture. May God use that to bringing you to the Savior. May it be a blessing to Jonathan and Ellen that God has united them, not because they simply had feelings for each other, because they had attractions towards one another. But where did that attraction came from? As I talked to Jonathan, and it's such a privilege, and I have to push down my emotions, because I've known him from his teens, and seeing him grow and mature and all sorts of experiences that he has had. So many hours we have spent chatting and talking till I don't know what time in the morning. And seeing this man going on with the Lord, and his desire is, I want someone who loves the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I want. And from knowing Eleanor, she has desired the same thing. Who is it that has attracted them together? It has been Jesus Christ alone. May God help you then. As you consider these things, don't forget that there is an invitation that is going out, and it doesn't matter who you are. The Lord is saying, come, come, receive my son, and I will give you a wedding garment, even salvation, and that will last you forever and ever. May God then bless these few thoughts to us. Amen. Let us now sing together our final hymn. And this is a hymn that Jonathan specifically has chosen. It's a hymn that has meant a lot to him after he was saved. And this hymn that speaks about assurance. Blessed assurance in Jesus Christ. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. We'll stand to sing.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praise thee, my Savior, all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praise thee, my Savior, all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. In my Savior, I'm happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Let us pray. Our gracious God, we pray that Thou wilt bless Thy word to every heart. We thank Thee for the wonderful, perfect garment of Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast provided it for us poor sinners. And we ask that each one of us might be clothed upon by that new man, Jesus Christ. Bless, Lord, we pray Thy servants here, Jonathan and Eleanor. Have Thy hand of mercy and grace upon them. May they know the path that Thou hast set for them. May they follow Thee, O God, in dark times, in bright times, in times of need, in times of plenty. Lord, we pray that Jesus Christ would hold their hands and lead them and bless them. Lord, we pray that they might not put each other first, but put Thee first in all things. And love one another in purity and truth. And Lord, we pray for Thy blessing. If it is Thy will, O God, to bless them with children, we pray that the generations to come from this couple would be those who would love the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they would be valiant for the truth. Lord, we give Thee thanks and praise Thee that this couple's parents committed them to the Lord and have prayed for them, and they are now seeing answers to their prayers. Lord, we thank Thee that Thou art a prayer-answering God. And we pray for every parent here with children. Oh God, answer prayer and save our children. So, Lord, we thank Thee and we bless Thee this day for Thy goodness and Thy grace. And we ask these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We will now have the signing of the register. Thank you.
signature.
Okay. Then I'll pronounce the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. God bless you both. Let us stand, please. Thank you.